This is the Action Movie Guys Podcast, bringing you action movie reviews from across the decades, plus box office numbers and insight like never before. And now, your hosts of the Action Movie Guys Podcast, Alex and Nate.
Welcome, everyone, to a brand new episode of the Action Movie Guys Podcast, episode 159. We're continuing the Die Hard watch through. Now we're up to Live Free or Die Hard from 2007. I'm your host, Alex Figueroa, and my co-host is...
Nate from Nateflix Reviews.
All right, Nate, how long has it been since you've seen Live Free or Die Hard?
Longer than I thought. I thought I had seen this more recently until I watched it, and I was like, this feels fairly fresh. So I saw it in theater in 2007. I saw it maybe one time at home after that. I haven't seen it a lot. So it's been a while.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of funny. This movie, I definitely saw in the theater. And I remember I came out hype, bro. I don't know why I was just so hype, but we'll talk about it.
Everybody.
Yeah, I was punching people in the face. That's how hype I was. But then, to be honest with you, it had to be sometime last year, but it was a TV. Like, I caught it from, like, the middle of the... I didn't see it from the beginning. So this is, like, the first time you're watching it again fully from beginning to the credits. So, okay. Yeah, it's interesting watch. All I gotta say is, a very interesting watch.
Agreed.
All right, guys, so let's get right into some Rotten Tomatoes scores for Live Free or Die Hard from 2007. Nate, what did the critics and audience have to say about the film?
Well, this was quite the upswing from the last movie. I'm surprised because me and you loved Die Hard with a Vengeance.
Mm-hmm.
And this one has a much better score. This one has an 82% critic score and an 86% audience score. So... When I do get these scores, I read like the little consensus.
Yeah.
And I don't all the way disagree with what it said, but I feel like the same should have applied to With a Vengeance. I don't know what happened here. But
well, the reviews are very numbers good. Again. It was 80 what?
82 critics, mm-hmm, and 86 audience. Hi.
Dude, I don't get it.
It was 50 something for With a Vengeance.
Yeah. That does not, this is the numbers what we should have got for Die Hard with a Vengeance.
I agree with you.
And it was like 40. No, it was 50.
It was like 52 or something like that. I was like, what the heck is this?
That's hard. I mean, look, for this is good. And remember, me and Nate keep talking about this. It's a rare feat when now we're into the fourth film of a franchise that's been from the 80s to be glorified. I mean, I think these are better numbers than any other films that we covered, right? Besides Rambo from 2006,
as far as a
right?
Film, as far as a fourth, this got to be the highest because, you know, Rambo, it was good, but I don't know if it was 82 and 86. I think they were good, but not that high. Terminator, the fourth Terminator is Salvation. I know that wasn't that high. And I'm trying to think of what other, like Bourne Supremacy wasn't this high. Or no, Bourne Legacy wasn't this high. So I don't remember any other ones being so high, to be honest with you.
No, I mean, that's interesting. Like, that's crazy. So Rambo came out in 2008, right? Yep. 37 critics, 69 audience.
It had terrible reviews.
Yeah.
We loved it, but terrible critics reviews.
And what was the other one? Terminator Salvation?
Yeah.
Terminator Salvation for 2009, 33% critics, 53% audience, the same numbers as Rambo, kind of up there with each other.
And not only that. Not only might be the highest fourth, but this is the first time that the third one was low and the fourth one went up.
Yeah.
Like it jumped back up. This was higher than two also.
Oh, yeah. Well,
weird. I don't know what's going on. Well, I'm just saying, usually the second in the franchise, you know, like it's kind of weird that the fourth one jumps all the way up to, it's basically the second best critically. We'll tell you if it's to us the second best, but.
Yeah, but it's very interesting. Like I'm very shocked. I love going back because again, me and you say the top three of the action stars. It's great to go back because those franchises hit five or six movies within each of these big characters that we love. So it's kind of cool comparing them to see where they land. And it looks like Die Hard so far looks strong.
It's a strong franchise.
It is.
It really is. It's really good.
All right. So look, with that said, we're going to throw out those numbers from the Rotten Tomatoes scores. And now it's time to give you guys our scores for Live Free or Die Hard from 2007. So starting off, lead character Bruce Willis as John McClane again.
Okay, so I hope this review is not controversial because I just hope it's not controversial. I will say this. I remember in 2007, I thought this movie was great. I was 20 in 2007 and I saw this at the theater. I was like you. I walked out. I was like, let's go. This is the best Die Hard movie. I probably said something wild like that. You know what I mean? I was a young man. Rewatching it, John McClane, I got to be honest with you, Alex. I didn't score him low. This does not feel like John McClane. This does not feel... This whole movie doesn't feel like a Die Hard movie to me. And sure. It starts with the lead character. He is an R-rated character. And this is like a neutered old man version of John McClane. That being said, my score is not going to be super low because Bruce Willis is still really good in this movie. He is good. Is he super John McClane-y? No. I have to say no. He's really not. There's moments. I don't know if you remember the scene where he's going when they're in the tunnel and it's like the big car crashes and he's going to get the car. Mm-hmm. And when he's getting the car, he's talking to himself. And it reminded me a lot of Die Hard 1 when he's in the vent. It's like, I'm going to go. He's throwing cars at me. He's doing that whole thing. Like that was very John McClane. You know what I mean? But outside of that moment, it didn't all the way feel like John McClane. It just felt like Bruce Willis in an action movie. I still liked him. I did like the dynamic with the daughter. And I like some of the banter with him and Justin Long. I wasn't crazy about all of it. It didn't all work for me. But there are a few moments where you could tell like Justin Long's kind of getting on his nerves and some of his facial expressions were good. He's good. Bruce Willis is good. But for me, this is the least amount of John McClane of any of the movies so far. Even with that, I'm going to give him a 4. I did like him, but to me, he was not, especially coming off of With a Vengeance, where he had a lot of development. I know you're going to go in a second, but to me, it felt like some of that went away. You know, like they bring out the wife for half a second in one little scene with Timothy Olyphant, you know? And other than that, it felt like a different person to me.
Yeah, I do agree with you. Watching John McClane in this movie didn't see Die Hard with a Vengeance. What made that movie work was the fact that John McTiernan was back, right? The original director for the first. Now, this was helmed by somebody else. This was not John McTiernan who directed.
This is Len Wiseman, the director of Underworld 1 and 2. And then this was his third film.
And you're right. The tone, color scheme, the colors, a totally different movie. Like where the Die Hards were very, not even saturation. It was just more cinematic. I guess that's the word, right? I'm looking for cinematic, whatever.
Cinematic.
Yeah. It looked more like that. Like the first three, actually, even if you go with two, it looked, you know, this one did not. This one looked like a high budget action movie, but did not have that essence of Die Hard, which I do agree with you.
Glossy. I think maybe is the word you might
be. Very, it was too polished. Movie. It was polished. Yes. Like it knew, it felt very, see now, I feel like I'm going into storyline and overall, but I'm not going to go into that. Let's just go into that.
We will. John McClane. We'll get there.
Yeah. John McClane felt very video game. And this is what I mean by it. It did not feel natural. Like where the other ones felt natural, him going to work and blah, blah, blah. This one just felt like John McClane was already boosted to like 100. Like he was already out the gate, the best version of himself. There was not an upgrade to the character. I did not like the fact that he was creeping on his daughter. And I was just like, that's weird. It was like the same. It was just the same storyline as his with the wife. I'm Gennaro or whatever her name is. Gennaro. I'm Gennaro. Not a McClane. But at the end of the movie, I'm a McClane. And I was like, oh, God, he's so cornball. But I liked Lucy. I'm going to be honest with you. She was really good. And I liked the father-daughter dynamic, to be really honest.
I did, too. I did enjoy most, except the beginning scene. I enjoyed the rest.
Yeah, everything with that was awesome. Jason Long, I hated him. I'm not going to even lie. I wanted to punch him in the face or throw him out the window. I was like, dude, he's just an annoying character. But you're right. John McClane. But one thing I will say is that his action scenes, John McClane, was good. Like, I was like, okay. It was good. It was elevated from the other threes, right? But I felt like they didn't even count his age because there was a lot of stuff that he did.
Full-blown superhero in this movie.
Yes. And that's what I meant for video game. It was a very video game version of John McClane, which it hurt me a bit. So I give it a 4.5. I knocked it down a half. I cannot give him a perfect. I mean, in this movie, he's a perfect. If you really think about it. But I gave him a 4.5. He's very like untouchable for some damn reason in this movie. So, all right, here we go. Main villain, Thomas Gabriel, played by Timothy Olyphant.
Yeah. Olyphant. So I'm not crazy about this villain, to be honest. I like Timothy Olyphant as an actor. I know he was on Justified. He was pretty cool on that show.
Deadwood.
Right. He was Deadwood, I think. And I've liked him in a number of movies. Honestly, I like him. I like him as an actor. I think he's good. He has crazy eyes. He always does this crazy eyes thing where he opens his eyes like really big like this. Yeah. He's like, you know, he's really mad. Now you know he's mad. He opened his eyes really big.
Yeah.
But other than that, all he is he's like a nerd. He's like a computer nerd guy. And all these people listen to him. And he's not scary, in my opinion. The Gruber brothers, Okay. When they would tell people to do stuff, you kind of can feel why people would like listen to them. You know what I mean? When this guy's doing it, it's like, bro, you could probably fight him. You could probably beat him in a fight. Most likely. Any of you. Maybe not the one main computer nerd, because he seemed like a wimp. But the rest of them, the girl, definitely Maggie Q could probably beat him up. Honestly, he's not horrible, but compared to, I think he's the weakest of the four villains so far in Die Hard. I don't think he was even as good as the general in part two. He's definitely not as good as the Gruber boys. And his plan was like, it was, that goes more into story. I didn't love him. He was okay. His crazy eyes were okay. Performance was fine. I gave him a 3. Middle of the road to me, to be honest. Very middle of the road.
I liked him. I ain't gonna lie. And I think it fit that storyline. I just feel like that villain is not a Die Hard villain. It did not feel like a Die Hard villain. But I understand why they chose that type of villain for this type of movie. I thought it worked, to be honest with you. He's a genius. And he told the NSA that this could happen. They blew him off. They killed his reputation. And he was like, all right, now it's time for me to show you what I told you about. And that's what he did. Now he didn't know that John McClane was coming into town. Because, you know, wrong place, wrong time. John McClane is there. So, but I liked him, though. He was very angry. Did he fight? No, he did not fight John McClane. He did shoot. But other than that, you're right. He's a typical henchman. But I'm going to give him the score of a 4. Because I think his execution on the plan, he had a plan and that worked. I mean, true. This dude shut down the entire United States. Like, true. I mean, I understand what you mean. He's not, you know, he's not Simon. He's not his other brother, Hans. So, and he's not the general. But those are, well, the two out of the three were army men. They fought. They were warriors. He's not. He's a cyber guy. He's like Q to James Bond. Like, he could do every damage with a computer, and he showed you. Like, he shut down the entire thing. So he played more with fear. I think that's his character is more of a fear character. Like, I'm going to take away your energy and have chaos erupt all over the place. So for me, I kind of liked it. I enjoyed it. It was a modern take, because I feel like if they would have done another warrior type character, it could have got kind of played out with another guy that, you know, I give him a 4. Okay. Action scenes.
So this is a strength in the movie. Honestly, the action's really, really fun. Len Wiseman, a stylist of a director, not a great director, but does have style. I'll give him that. And the action scenes were great. Now, this is the most unbelievable of the Die Hard movies so far. Like, this is the real outrageous stuff. Like the car flipping in the air and they just duck and the other two cars protect them, like they somehow wouldn't also just still get crushed. Or how he throws the car into the helicopter. Or how that big, huge semi-truck crashes into that pole and he just doesn't even get... nothing. He's fine. Doesn't even get hurt. Or how he's on a jet. I mean, there's just so much... there's just so much here that's like, nah. But does it look pretty awesome? Yes, it does. It's very well executed. It's pretty thrilling. There's a lot of action. That's a plus. This one does have a lot of action. I'll give it that. The helicopter, or the car into the helicopter, I remember it being like a big moment in the trailer. And they pulled it off with, like, it looks very practical. You know what I mean? Like, they really blew stuff up. It's not overly CGI. Obviously, I'm sure there's a lot of computer stuff, but everything looks real. Like, they did a lot of real stunts, and I'm a fan of that. None of my issues with this film are in the action department. I think the action is quite great. The scene with all of them, all the action scenes are memorable. Even the one early where he goes to get Justin Long in the apartment and the guys are shooting and he's like jumping on the things, and it's all really, really good. I gave it a 5. I honestly do not have any issues other than it being bloodless when the other ones are R-rated. It's more PG-13, but it's still really well done and it's exciting, honestly.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. That's the highest score is the action in my sheet card here. It's a 5 off the bat. I mean, the minute the movie started, I was like, this is a 5. Because I already know where I was getting into. I already saw, you know, we all saw the movie, but I already knew where we were going. This had more action than going down the line. I mean, 3, 2, and 1.
I agree.
it does. But one thing that I will say where, I mean, 3 had unbelievable stunts too when they fell. I mean, when they zip lined into that oil rig. But other than that, that was pretty much it. Them jumping off a boat is practical. But I think this one, you're absolutely right. I was a little like, what the F? Like, I was telling my wife, like, there's some parts in this movie that I'm like, this is bullshit. Like,
and it didn't age that well. It was like,
no, it did not. Crazy. Like, when he's... oh, man. when this dude is in a semi truck and an F-16 starts to hit this dude with 50 calibers, right? Yep. And he ducks and the truck is still driving on a perfect set because it's going on a, is taking turns going up the ramp. He ducks. It's not even going straight. He ducks and the thing is going. And I'm like, yo, this dude would have been, first of all, it would have blew up because this is 50 calibers. No, it's just that it became a convertible truck. Convertible and I was truck. Just like, okay, whatever. This F-16 was green light to shoot bridges with innocent bystanders because I'm like telling my wife, I was like, well, first of all, you can't give me this bullshit that the whole city is like deserted. Yeah. You had to tell me that there's people on this bridge too. No, everything was deserted. No one was on the bridge escaping.
All humans have left.
No, it was martial law up in this bitch. And I was like, only John McClane is driving, right? And I'm like, okay, that, I mean, he slide when the thing blew up and he slides with all that burning heat and did not even get even a, like a third degree burn. And I was like, man, this is getting crazy. He's immune, right? I gave it the 5 because the action was,
does that look cool? That's the question. It looks cool.
It did look cool, but not for an 80-year-old. It's
implausible.
Exactly. For an 80-year-old. Like, I would have been like, yo, this shit is awesome if it was in Die Hard 1. Like, if the helicopter was crashing and he slid, you know, down whatever into the thing, I would have said, ooh. Or
if John McClane was like Spider-Man. That was a great scene. Be like, wow, yeah, look at Spider-Man. But it's a man. The whole point with John McClane is supposed to be an everyday guy.
Is this dude is not an everyday
I couldn't do
guy.
Any of that. I would die instantly.
Yeah, I would be like, fire. I would like this. I mean, that scene, but there was one shot that I said, yo, this director stole my heart. Is when it was driving towards the tunnel and it was, you could tell it was on a rig, the camera, and it does the spin. Like it goes from the back and then all of a sudden it does this like this awesome spin and it goes right to the front of the car. And then he does the 180 down the tunnel one down the ramp into the tunnel. I lost it. I said, yo, this journey is awesome. I was like, you got to give me some more of this stuff. I mean, the dude is shooting I'm going to end it with this. The guy is shooting a helicopter. He's on the helicopter shooting at McClane. And McClane is in the middle of a tunnel. And I was like, where is this guy shooting from above into a middle of a tunnel? I was like, this is, you can't get any more stupider than that. But it was very entertaining, though. Certain points were John McClane-ish. The beginning was, to me, out of everything, the John McClane scenes were the beginning.
Crazier and crazier as the movie went on.
Yeah, the beginning was very John McClane. When he was like, where did these guys come from? The circus? And, you know, dudes landing with parkour. And I was like, okay, that's actually very John McClane. Him throwing the fire extinguisher and shot him through the window. And he's like, oh, that's going to work.
That was all neighbors. Good.
Exactly. Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, he got hit with a car. He got hit full force with a car. Flipped over a car, got up and
he was fine.
Yeah, he was fine. All right, here we go. Storyline.
Okay, here we go. So I remember this movie being really cool in 2008, and maybe it's my 2022 brain, but it's not that cool anymore. Like the story is not. You know, I love. Here's the problem. Alex. Here's the problem.
Okay, what's the
this problem? Die Hard? Okay, the first three Die Hard movies. They are an analog. They are analog technology. You know what I mean? And this is hyper digital technology. And it doesn't work for me. Like it doesn't fit. And I didn't know this before, but when I watched it, put in the Blu-ray, started up and it says based on an article called something.
Yeah.
I'm like, so you made this. It feels like they made a movie and then decided to make it Die Hard later. You know what I mean? This did not, I don't think this was birthed as a Die Hard film. I think someone else wrote this script about this technology thing and then was like, what if we added in John McClane into it? And it really feels like that watching it now. You know what I mean? And maybe that's where some of our issues come from, because this feels like it was a different movie and they converted it into a Die Hard movie. The same way, I don't know if you've ever seen it, but another example, there was a sci-fi movie that came out on Netflix a few years ago. It's called The Cloverfield Paradox.
I did. It sucked.
And it sucked. You know why? Because it was not a Cloverfield movie at all. And they decided to like jam in the big Cloverfield monster at the end. And it's like, what is this? This doesn't have to do it. And that's how I felt about this movie. It does not feel like a Die Hard movie in the least bit. The story is, it's not, don't get me wrong, I don't think it's a bad story. I just think it's not a diehard story. You know what I mean? Also, you know, the technology stuff, it's still fairly, it's still relevant, but, you know, obviously the technology was different. You know, the cell phones were different and things like that. But for the most part, I think it, that part aged okay. Excuse me. But there's just not a lot for John McClane to do in this one as much. You know, like, he's too much of a superhero. I don't like that. I left it out of lead character because I was going to put it here. That's the writing. They wrote him to be like this god. He's not a god. The whole point was that he almost always dies in all of them. You know what I mean? Like, he comes close. In this one, I was never, ever worried. He was always safe. No matter what happens, this guy's going to pull through. And I don't like that. And you're right. Justin Long, this is the worst casting in the whole movie.
Yeah.
He's good in certain movies. He's good in like straight comedy. You know, like I like Accepted. I like a few of his movies. He's not a good counterpoint to Bruce Willis's John McClane. Samuel Jackson was an amazing, amazing counterpoint. Older, but funny. This kid is annoying. You know, he's like, what is this? So for me, the storyline, I gave it a 3. I think it's fine for like, if this was not Die Hard, if this was called, you know, I don't know, whatever the original title of that article was. And if it was Bruce Willis and he was playing another guy, you know, he's playing Jim Williams. Cool. That's a cool movie. As a Die Hard film, I think it's the weakest story out of all of them. And you said something earlier. Now I forgot and I'm kind of mad. But, you know, we were talking about the action. Oh, I remember. You said this one has the most action in it. And it does. And that's a problem because the other ones have less, but the stories are really good. Like when there's not action, you're really into it. And I wasn't into this when stuff wasn't blowing up, to be honest.
You know, it's kind of funny you said this because you know what person came to mind for this movie when I was watching it? You might agree with me. Even the people on the Patreon that's watching right now behind the scenes. Olympus Has Fallen, Part 4.
Oh.
Right? Gerard Butler, Mike Banning. Right? Could have been Mike Banning, right? He you know, something happens and you would be like, oh, you know what? It could work with Mike Banning. One, the storyline, I enjoyed the storyline. I think I like it was a modern take on the world. It wasn't like a generic, we're going to steal the nukes and do this and all this, or, you know, wrong place and wrong time type thing. I do enjoy the storyline. My problem is the same thing that, well, we both have the problem with. It's that's just this is not a John McClane story in our eyes. This is not something that he felt very, oh man, I know I'm going to say this and I might get hate for it, but it felt very Rambo. Remember Rambo 3 when he went up against the whole army with a clip of a gun? And it was like, come on, man. He had a tank. He shot the tank with a grenade.
Like, what is this?
He had the 80s immunity. And that's the thing that I never... I love Rambo. I think he's a great character. But Rambo, if you really look at Rambo from 1 to 3, he was like... the dude never got much hurt until the later films. Yeah, this one, they gave him the immunity. And it kind of hurt, man. Because we saw 3. 3 was great. And John McClane was grounded, right? Because he had all the your 7 wives, your 7 dogs, ate the cats, and all this puzzles. And you're like, oh, wow, that's crazy. He had a... You know, it felt believable. Because he was going through the trial and error to get to where we were going. This one, he didn't. He was just taking Jason Long, which is an annoying-ass character, across D.C., across, you know, New Jersey, and going to Virginia. And I was just like, what the... He flies a helicopter. We didn't even talk about this. A character that was afraid of heights. All of a sudden, learn how to fly a helicopter.
He's just a regular cop. He's not a military guy.
He talks about, oh, I took some flying lessons. The dude is flying in the dark. Like I was so dumbfounded while watching this movie. I'm like, the dude was scared of heights in the first 3 movies.
Yep.
He did what he had to do because he was saving people. But other than that, you could tell he was afraid of heights. This one, that took a little bit. It was like Indiana Jones. Remember when he was afraid of flying, and all of a sudden by the third movie with his father, he learned how to fly a plane. I was like, where are we going with this? Right. But I enjoyed the storyline for what it was. I thought Thomas Gabriel's character is what grounded for me the movie. It made the movie for what it was, because if the villain sucked ass, the plot line would have been horrible. And Maggie Q worked it also because she was gorgeous. And I was like, she's great. This worked. Yeah.
I always like her. Yeah, she's solid.
So I gave the movie a 4 for storyline. Mm. I enjoyed it for what it was in terms of story. I thought it was really good. I mean, because we could knock out 4 action movies in the 4th sequel that stinks. So this one's actually a fun ride in terms of storyline. All right. Fair enough. Overall,
I think this is a good movie. I think this is, you know what this is? This is a good action movie, but I don't think it's a great Die Hard movie. And I hope that makes sense. This is a good fun action flick, I could definitely watch it if I just pretend it's not Die Hard. I think the Die Hard franchise is three movies. And this is like some, I like your video game reference. This is like a DLC that is like kind of like adjacent to the game. You know what I mean? Or if the first three are all full price video games, this is like a $30 add-on. It is not Die Hard. And we haven't done the fifth. I haven't even watched it yet. But from what I remember, that crap ain't Die Hard either. So I think it's a three movie franchise that accidentally has five movies in it. That being said, this movie's fun. I enjoy it. I have a good time. It's entertaining. Yes, but it's not a great Die Hard film. I gave it a 3.5. This is a 7 out of 10 for me. It's good. I could watch it. I own it. I don't regret owning it, but not a great Die Hard movie, in my opinion.
Overall, I gave it a 4. I enjoyed it. I do agree with everything you said. It's not a Die Hard movie, but I will say this is that it's a fun movie. Yes. And I could say for a character that's lived through four films, we could at least say that the fourth film is actually enjoyable to watch. It's not one of those that you go, oh my God, it's garbage. But this is actually enjoyable. Like, I could literally sit down and watch, you know, 1, 3, and 4 without 2, because that's how good, I believe that's how good 4 is. I do agree. It doesn't feel like a John McClane movie at all, but it's enjoyable and it's in modern times. So that's another thing that we have to catch also, is the fact that it's modern and they were trying to capture this whole 4th of July stuff.
I think I like 2 better than 4 now. Now having seen it,
yeah,
I think I do.
You like 2?
We're not ranking them, but I think I do. Mm. I used to like this one more, but now rewatching, I'm like, I don't think so. At least 2 feels like Die Hard to me. This one doesn't. To your point, this one might be better, more polished overall, but...
Yeah. I will say this, though. After watching this movie, I could now sit through 1, 2, 3, and 4. Yeah. Like, I could see the progression now of the character going to where he is now. I like I said, I gave the overall, I gave it a 4. So I enjoyed it for what it was. I will definitely, I mean, again, I don't understand. Other movies are coming out in 4K, and we cannot get a damn Die Hard movie, 2, 3, and 4, to come out. But
this Blu-ray did look good, though.
Oh, Blu-ray was really stunning. Oh, it looked great. Creepy. Yeah, and Die Hard with a Vengeance, which I was shocked.
Yeah.
That looked great. Good.
Maybe that's why they're like, well, we don't got to rush.
We don't have to spend money on the
I do think it's weird. I still think it's weird, though, having watched it, that this got such high... I still think it's weird that it got such high reviews, because it doesn't even seem like a Die Hard movie.
I think because it's modern.
Maybe.
If you really look at 90... I forgot what it was. The last one was 95, 97, whatever it was. 95. Right? Yeah, 95. People wasn't going to the theater as much as they are in 2007. That's where the movie was booming, right? Because all the superhero movies came out. Spider-Man came out in 2002, I believe. So that's where all the box office numbers started to go crazy. So it could be that. I could be wrong, but it could be that. All right, total points.
All right, total points for me comes out to an 18.5 out of 25. Good movie, solid entry, not Die Hard, but a good action film.
I gave this movie a 21.5. I enjoyed it. Nice. I thought it was good. It's a great fourth movie in a action movie franchise. I could say out of so far, this could be one of the best ones in the fourth of an installment so far. We haven't done much.
By the way, this made $388 million.
So that's a lot. That's a lot of money.
Yeah.
So well. 21.5. All right, Nate, what's coming up?
All right. So coming up, next episode, excited for this one, an all-timer, Independence Day. This is like quintessential 90s action film, and we haven't done it yet. So going through the river of time, we're getting to the end of the 90s, and Independence Day is our second to last. And then, of course, next week, we will be wrapping up the Die Hard franchise with A Good Day to Die Hard, I think it was called. Not looking forward to rewatching it. I saw it at the theater, never again. But for this show, for you people, I will do it. So that's going to be our wrapping up our Die Hard franchise.
There you have it, guys. If you want to follow us on our social media accounts, please follow Nate over on Instagram at NateFlixReviews. Check out the podcast with him and his friends called NateFlix Movie Reviews. Anything action movie, guys, head over to youtube.com/geeksandflix for the video version of the podcast, or go to an official website. Go to www.geeksandflix.com. There we have every episode of the Action Movie Guys podcast, audio, video. We're still catching up, but it's slowly every week I'm putting out 2 videos to catch up to 159. So with that said, I'm your host, Alex Figueroa, and that is
Nate from Netflix Reviews.
Be awesome to each other and geek out.